Well, you just heard that the Postal Service is going to be talking about their growing debt problem, but there's another growing debt problem that's been growing for perhaps longer, who knows, and that's in the Eurozone. The Eurozone possibly could be moving towards a United States of Europe model, like the 13-state confederate you may remember from your American history classes. The Eurozone has 17 very loosely connected nations. There's no strong central regulating body that actually determines spending policies or monetary policies, really, for the greater Eurozone. And joining us now, Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times. So they have a currency, but they don't really have a huge amount of regulation.
Well, so they have kind of half of what we have in the U.S. And what they have was set up back in 1992. If you remember, that's when they had the treaties that created the euro and set up the process for countries to join that zone. And countries did over the next 10 years. And they got half of what we have in the U.S. They have the equivalent of our Federal Reserve. They have the European Central Bank. And that moderates interest rates and affects monetary policy. What they do not have is a fiscal union. And fiscal, that refers to like the U.S. Treasury that we have here. They don't have that side of the coin. So they do not have a central authority for going over budgets, for tax policy, for, you know, regulatory. And you've seen that's been a big problem in the last 18 months as different countries have had budgetary problems. They also, each country issues its own debt. And of course, in the United States, the U.S. Treasury issued debt for the whole country. So what you're starting to see are individual financial officials and central bankers in Europe starting to say in speeches, well, maybe we should have euro bonds, you know, continent-wide bonds, or maybe we should have a finance minister. They're very hesitant to say it, though, because it's very politically unpopular with voters in Europe. But I've been talking to a number of different finance officials, and privately they tell you, this is the way we are going. They say it is inevitable. There's no way to get through this without finding a way to centralize our budgets, our bond issuance, our taxation. And then they say the only problem is we've got to find a way to make it palatable to voters in Europe.
So they have a Ben Bernanke. They don't have a Timothy Geithner.
That's right. That's a good way to put it.
All right. So if let's say that they got a finance minister. I mean, one of the big problems, let's say, for example, Greece being one of the biggest problems right now for the Eurozone. It's not the only, but one of the largest. And one of the reasons Greece is a problem is because of their debt ratio. Would a finance minister then be able to say, okay, you can't hold this much debt. You have to have this amount of income in ratio to your debt?
Absolutely. And, you know, there were these loose fiscal rules in the agreement from the 1990s about how much debt countries were supposed to have, but there was really no way to enforce them. So not only would this finance minister be able to set the level, they'd be able to go in and maybe levy sanctions or do different things to enforce following these rules. Now, it seems from people I've talked with, it seems pretty clear that you will have to give the several years here to getting all the countries in the zone into balanced budget positions. So the countries who are in better shape, like Germany, they don't want to, you know, join under one finance minister and have one set of bonds for the whole continent with Greece until Greece gets its budget in order. And so what you'll have to see is you really have to see some of these imbalances between spending and income in the countries get put into place, have it all put in order, and then maybe you could see this happen.
We're speaking with Louise Story, finance and Wall Street reporter for our partner, the New York Times, about the possibility of the fiscal states of Europe. But, I mean, obviously the danger and the fear probably among a lot of Europeans is that what is fiscal will then become political. That, you know, they will no longer be independent nations, but they will start to become some big amorphous body.
Well, you know, it's really a fear for some Europeans and it's a dream for others. This has been something you go back to the 60s, 70s, and you have various leaders in European history who have talked about the united Europe. And so some people think it's a great idea and some people hate the idea, but you're absolutely right. Once you start coordinating spending across a continent, that gets into social trade-off decisions. Like, you know, how much do we spend on healthcare versus how much do you spend on education?
Exactly.
And they might let each country have different policies on it. But when you get into those kinds of decisions, what else does a government do but make those kind of social trade-off financial decisions? So it does lead inevitably down this path towards more and more togetherness in Europe rather than separation.
But we're not yet at the place where any of these leaders are ready to come out of the back rooms and speak about this on the record.
The people who have come out about this have been, for instance, the president of the European Central Bank has said it in a few speeches.
That makes sense.
But he's a central banker.
Yeah.
And finance officials, you did see in August, the president of France and the chancellor of Germany, they did come out with a bunch of proposals that were not as extreme as a fiscal union, but were definitely steps in that direction, changes they want to see that would push Europe in that direction. So the issue is few political leaders want to frame it this way. They don't want to say the United States of Europe. But when you look at the changes they're already making, in fact, they have a vehicle they created already that this summer they said it will start issuing continent-wide bonds. It will not replace the country individual bonds, but it will issue continent-wide bonds.
Separately.
Separately, in addition to the individual country bonds. That's a step in this direction.
Louise Story, finance and Wall Street reporter for our partner, the New York Times. Thanks so much, Louise.
Thank you.
You can get more of The Takeaway online. We're looking ahead to the 10th anniversary of 9/11, which is upcoming. And we have a huge collection of interviews, music, images, all assembled by our co-producer, New York Public Radio. For example, video on the time-lapse documentary of rebuilding in Ground Zero. Go behind the scenes for a slideshow as they shift 88 searchlights into position to create the tribute in light. That's all there at thetakeaway.org. I'm Celeste Headley, who can't say her name. John Hockenberry is out today. This is The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.